Welcome to the world of dark puddings, where two dynamic mistresses invite you to join them on a journey into the depths of BDSM. In this podcast, we explore the dark play space that resides in all of our fantasies, pushing boundaries and exploring desires in a safe and consensual setting. Join us as we provide insight, advice, and personal experiences that will both enlighten and excite you. Get ready to delve into the deliciously twisted world of BDSM with your hosts, Miss Kitten and Domina Faye.
Hey, kinky perverts. Welcome back to Dark Puddings. I'm your host, Miss Kitten, and my co-host, the beautiful
Domina Faye.
Yay, from Johannesburg is on the line with me today. And we're talking about consent part two. If you haven't listened to the consent chat, part one is definitely worth a listen. In fact, I'd listen twice and start to think about consent from a different aspect. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how we navigate consent in our negotiations and what it looks like to us. And what we do when we feel that we haven't been honored in our negotiations, and a little bit about what accountability looks like and how it works for us. So we are very glad to have you back, and thank you for listening, and thank you for your time today, as always, and thank you for your support.
Absolutely. Hello, kinky perverts. Thank you so much for being back to listening part two. We are very excited about today's episode because today we are going to chat a bit about what does consent look like for us. We've discussed the four main points of consent in the last podcast. And just to do a little recap, it's basically about your capacity, then your autonomy. Number three is having the information required to make your actual choice. And then number four, putting agreements and boundaries in place. I think Miss Kitten actually had an amazing post on FetLife. Just as a side note, if you don't know what FetLife is, it's like a kinky Facebook. And the post is about understanding and explaining what consent looks like for her. And I think we all can actually take a bit from that post, and we can think about it and really go in depth into understanding ourselves better. Because for me, that is where consent starts. If I don't know myself, if I don't know what I want, if I don't know what my consent or my capacity look like, if I don't know what I feel like emotionally or physically, if I don't understand or trust the person that's asking to play with me or even asking me for a coffee date, can I really say yes or no? So I think it's important to really understand ourselves on a very deep level, to actually be honest with yourself. How often do you think, okay, let's do this. But how often do you ask yourself, do I actually have the energy to do this? Can I actually do that?
I used to do that a lot. Like, yes was my answer. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd lie there thinking, why the fuck did I say yes? If I hadn't said yes, I could sleep until 8 o'clock. And I said yes to everything. So I really had to. Yeah, I'm always in it to win it. You know me, I'm always up for a good time. Even if it's dangerous. But just making sure that I had capacity, made sure that the good times I was up for were great times. And I really got to appreciate being there. And I had less good times and more great times. So I think that it's really benefited me in the long run. And just being present and just having capacity to be present. And we speak about capacity a lot, but it's hugely important, and I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for it in our daily lives. and we spoke about it before, but it's very intertwined with our self-care and what we're doing to look after ourselves. And we're really not good at self-care. We're very good at caring for a million other things and finding a million other things and focusing on ourselves. But actually spending time with yourself, being present in your own body, and doing things that are going to benefit you long term, are hugely important. And those are the people that you want to invest in too, because those are the people that will be around for a long time and that have good boundaries and good information about themselves to share with you.
Absolutely, Miss Kitten. You know, I often, like you say, we say yes to people that sometimes in our daily lives and even in a kink situation, because we really like them, or they're really sexy, or they really turn us on. So we sometimes say yes for the wrong reasons. When you
yes. Oh my God. I'm just thinking my new relationship energy. Like, I'm so bad. As soon as like the hot guy says, "Do you wanna?" I'm like, I already got my clothes off, my boobs out, and I'm like, I'm there. What do you want me to do? I so relate to that. Yes, Domina Faye, I'm with you.
Okay. So when you say yes, without considering yourself, without being really honest with yourself, if this is a good idea, how do you feel afterwards?
Oh, I feel that lurch, that surge of anxiety. My tummy is in a knot. My body's got quite quick about responding to that negative energy. I get migraines quite quickly when I'm mentally stressed about bad decisions that I've made. I feel in turmoil. It's not comfortable. It's not great. Try and avoid that. Hey. Sorry, just hold on. Dogs, come here. There's nobody there, you idiots. Oh, my boyfriend's just coming home. Sorry, just give him a second to come in the door. Hey, are you early? Okay. They still haven't realized where you are. Still barking at James. Can you just talk to the dogs? God. Okay. Yeah, and I'll edit that. Yeah, I feel crap. I feel really shitty. It's not a good feeling. It's not nice. It's not something I want to do. It affects everything. It affects the rest of my day. It affects my ability to adult. It affects my ability to sleep. It affects my ability to be responsible for other things. So it has a huge knock-on effect, I think.
Yes. So personally, I have to say that when I say yes in a situation where I feel sometimes I coerce myself, to be honest, I'm not proud to say it, but I do. It's the reality of being human. I have to say it definitely have that anxiety afterwards, even before. It's like a physical feeling that you get of, I didn't really want to do this. Why did I say yes?
100%.
And it's like, oh my God, what am I doing? This is not right for me. I can't do this. I do not have capacity for this. So what we need to realize is when we say yes without really thinking about it, we actually not only physically but emotionally, we take ourselves down a path of destruction. We go 100%. Into a complete down spiral into this anxiety and depression pool that if we really just took a moment, even if we just told the person, give me a moment to think about this and made an informed decision and most likely said no, we wouldn't have been in that situation. So, 100%. I mean, when I go down that down spiral, I also, it's like my whole body goes into like a state of shock almost. It's definitely a trauma response that you have. And the sad thing is that we've put this on ourselves. And
yeah,
we're perfect, but we do sometimes do this.
And I think that we need to add in here, like, you're going to do this a million times still. Like, I've got better at it, but I still do this. And you don't have to punish yourself for it. And it's not a failure. And you are allowed to change your mind. And that's why when we speak about consent, we speak about the fact that it can be removed or revoked at any time. So when you're feeling that feeling, you haven't signed yourself into a marriage for the next 10,000 years. It is dissolvable. You are allowed to say, hey, not feeling this right now, not participating, it's not happening, sorry, I'm out. And you don't have to give a reason. You don't need to validate anything to anybody else. So being able to say, like, I acknowledge these feelings that are inside my body that are telling me that this sucks and I'm going to make a different choice in the situation is so super brave. And I have such respect for the bottoms that come past my dungeon that are able to do that, because it means that they're really putting themselves first and that they matter to themselves. And I love that. I love that because
I absolutely respect that.
Well, if they matter to themselves, it means that I will honestly matter to them too. You know, that they have as much consideration for me as they do for themselves. So people that aren't considering themselves will never consider me. So I think that is huge in the situation. And I don't think you should feel like you failed. I don't think you should feel like you've done a bad thing. I think you've got to move away from the binary bias of good and bad. I think we've got to move away from punishing ourselves. I think there needs to be some acceptance and some accountability. I said yes to Domino Faye. Whatever my reasons for saying yes, they weren't 100% correct. I'm now going to take accountability for myself and say to Domino Faye, I can't do this today. I know I agreed to it, but I just can't do it today. It's not happening. Can we either reschedule, forget about it forever, rather go and eat some cake, whatever the solution to the situation is or the options are. But just owning it and saying this is where I'm at right now is so fucking super brave. And I think that is what we should be rewarding our play partners for, and acknowledging in our play partners and acknowledging in our partners, and just that authentic honesty. Like, I didn't feel good today. I just didn't. I'm not doing this. I know I said yes, but it's not happening.
100%. And you know what? I think as a society, like we said in the last podcast, we are basically brought up to say yes to everything and never to accept a no. So we either push our own boundaries down to say yes to something that we don't really want to, or we push someone to the point that they actually feel guilty if they're going to say no. And that is basically, that's a violation, not only for yourself, but it's against them, because you haven't given yourself or them the space of honesty to actually say, or can I even say the space of safety, that you feel safe to say no.
So I have a question, Domfair. How does it make you feel when somebody says yes to you and they don't mean yes, they actually mean no? How do you feel in that situation?
I personally feel violated. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. When someone tells me they want to do something, and I physically can see that they are not up to it, physically or mentally, I feel violated, because I feel that person said yes because they actually just want me to do something with them. I personally respect the person that tells me, I like your idea, but I cannot say yes to it today. Can we rather do this instead? I still want to spend time with you, but can we rather do something else? Then I rather respect that. If you tell me yes, and halfway through a session, I realize that you are not there at all, because that is what we do. When we say yes to something that we physically or emotionally do not really want to do, we go on autopilot. And when you go on autopilot and for someone like me, I really tune in on a person's energy. I can actually feel that. I can feel that you're not present. I can feel that you're not enjoying this. I can feel that you're not in the moment with me. And it makes me so uncomfortable that I will actually call it. I will say, okay, we're stopping. This is not happening because you're not here.
100%. And I think also like it makes me feel untrusted. It makes me feel unsafe in myself. And it makes me question myself that you can't communicate with me. And it makes me go back and think, well, if we don't have the bottom foundation of honest communication, and you're lying to me about something that's so simple, so basically real for you, what else are you lying to me about? So it completely destroys trust for me. Like, I really rather know that you're not doing it and you're not into it than have you pretend that you are and fake it. And the thing is, as soon as you disassociate, as soon as you're not with me in the session, laughing and giggling and experiencing it with me, I feel like I've failed. And I don't want to feel like that. So, absolutely. You know, I think just being able to own it is such an adult step. And when you're dealing with a bunch of experiences that are literally trauma-based, because it's your body's chemical response to trauma that you're playing with, it's really important to be 100% sure it's something that you want to do and that you embody the moment, that you are committed to the process, and that it's really what would be beneficial to your situation.
Yes, 100%. I absolutely agree. I think what I can add, it's the airplane coming down over very low. What I can add to this is I always strive to have open and honest communication. I feel as I'm coming to you as a human first. I'm not coming to you as a dominatrix or mistress first, because you are a human to me. You are a human being with autonomy. And I want to know that you have the emotional and physical capacity to actually make this choice for yourself. Because I don't want you to have a bad experience with me. I want you to walk away feeling good. I want you to come and get what you need. I want to be able to give you what you're asking for. And if you don't take a moment to actually be honest and open with yourself first, to actually understand what you require, to be able then to ask me for what you actually need, then for me, there's no point in going forward. Because then I'm going to feel bad because you didn't really know what you're asking for. You gave me permission to do a session on you that you didn't have capacity for, and you didn't have all the information to really make that choice. So my first thing when I tell a person, okay, so what you're asking for is ABC, do you understand what you're asking for? Do you understand the emotional implication it's going to have on you? Do you understand it? What's it physically going to do to your body? And most often the answer is no. So then I explain to them and I tell them, this is what you're most probably going to experience, but I mean, you could even experience different things to this, but this is basic. So people really need to understand themselves before they can actually say yes. And I think oftentimes that is where we miss out, because we don't trust ourselves.
I see a lot of beginners and newbies, and I'm thinking about this topic quite a bit today. You'd notice my Instagram posts are all on the same level here. but I think it's important, you don't know what you don't know. So sometimes you agree to things because you don't know what you don't know until you know it. So I think just owning that as a starting point and saying, yes, I consent to doing this, but I have no experience in it. So I'm not 100%. Sure what my response is going to be. I'm not sure how my body's going to handle it. I'm not sure how I'm going to handle it emotionally. If I am triggered, here's my plan. This is what I'd like you to do, like you to not do. Can we try it? And can we try a calibrated version of it? Can we try a little bit of it? Let me try it on myself first. Let you try a little bit of it on me afterwards. And then can we debrief and can we have a chat about it and see where we're going from there? Because that you're going to live to fight another day. It's not the Olympics. There is no award for anyone in kink. Thank God, otherwise we'd all be dead. There's literally no prize in this. So the prize is that you feel satisfied afterwards. So taking something and breaking it down into really simple pieces, and then having discussions about those pieces so that you can put them together to form bigger plays and bigger scenes is really super important. And I think that's often forgotten about. I think a lot of the time we go on FetLife or even on Instagram and we see these amazing rope suspensions, we see these amazing needle scenes, and they are scaled for dramatic effect and the pictures are perfect and everybody's looks like they're movie stars in the whole thing. But we forget that, you know, you're allowed to be a human and you're allowed to be an individual and you're allowed to start somewhere. And it's not about the Instagram post, it's not about the FetLife post, it's not about sharing the experience with a million followers. It's about how that experience lands for you. That's so important and that needs to be kept as a priority.
I totally agree with you. I think what we just need to come back to always is to respect ourselves first and foremost, because if we cannot respect our own boundaries and limits and limitations, then we don't really have a starting point. So like you say, acknowledge that you do not have any experience in something. So say, I would like to try this, but I've never experienced it. So I don't know how it's going to be. Don't just go to someone and say, oh, okay, I want to experience needles. But meanwhile, you have this fear of needles and you just want to overcome a fear. Because I'm telling you, you are going to trigger the hell out of yourself. And the top that's going to play with you won't be prepared to actually deal with your trigger because they didn't expect it. So always be open about it. Rather say, look, I have a fear of needles. I would like someone to help me work through my trauma and actually become, you know, work through my fear so that I don't have this fear anymore. So immediately it's going to alter the play. It won't be this massive play that everybody planned and it's so going to be so perfect and everything, but it literally might just be one needle. That whole session can be one needle, because what's going to happen is you're going to touch the needle, you're going to hold the needle, you're going to understand that this is your choice to try it. And once it's in your skin, you're going to stop and you're going to breathe through it. And you're going to trust yourself to actually work through the emotions and the trauma that you feel in your body to understand that this is a choice you have. It doesn't mean that it's just something that's going to be done to you. So it is so important to be open with yourself, to communicate with yourself first before you even give anybody else consent to do anything to your body. Having that autonomy and that complete and encompassed understanding of who you are and what you need is so important when it comes to giving consent. And not only in kink, but also in real life. God, people, kinky perverts, it is okay to say no. It is okay to say no to family members, to a partner, to a boyfriend, to a girlfriend, to a friend, to a dom, it doesn't matter who. And I know in society, often we, like Ms. Kitten said, we're in a situation at work where we can't really say no. However, you do have the right to tell your boss, I currently have so much work. Can you give me a moment to rework my schedule and I can see if I can fit this in, but I might need some help. So it doesn't mean that you have to give them a straight out no, but you can tell them in another way that right now I do not have capacity to handle anymore. I do not have capacity to put more on my plate.
Damfe, I think you've touched on it. I think you've touched on a subject that I think is quite important. Like, I think sometimes saying no is traumatic and sometimes hearing no is traumatic. Absolutely. So there are definitely better ways to say no and there are definitely better ways to hear no. So I think it's also about how you're presenting yourself in that moment. Your choice of words matter, like, hugely. No, you fucking dickhead is not a great answer. No, you know, thank you, but no thank you is a much better answer. And try and take the smirk out of your voice. I had a bit of smirk there. Let me try it again. Thank you. I can't do it without a smirk. Thank you, but no thank you. Acknowledges that they made an offering. And that the offering's not for you. It doesn't make it personal. They feel like they've been justified, and practicing it is great. So I really recommend in new relationships that you practice hearing each other's no. We play the no game for 2 minutes. So for 2 minutes, your partner's only allowed to say no. You can ask them a million questions. You can offer them a million rand. You can offer them a new French bulldog. You can offer them back massages. You can offer to do the housework for 27 weeks. You can offer them a trip to Mauritius. They only allowed to say thank you, but no thank you to every single suggestion. That gives you 2 minutes of hearing no. That gives them 2 minutes of saying no. By the end of that exercise, and you swap, and then you can offer them whatever they want. By the end of that exercise, they've had the ability to hear and to say no, and they're comfortable with it. And you also realize that nobody died. Nobody lost a limb. Nobody was sent to Antarctica. Nobody was voted off the tribe. The island is still standing. The house has not burned down. The world has not ended. So once all of those boxes have been ticked and you realize that you're still human with two legs and a beating heart and you've survived the no session, you realize that you can use this word in your relationship and that it's actually quite empowering. And what then you can alter the exercise to say yes and no, because that gives you a chance to ask questions in a comfortable environment where your partner can give you replies to the question, and you can make suggestions, but you're not compelled to carry out any of the suggestions. So it's still in a game play sort of way. So things like, you know, Damfe, can I peg you? You know, if you kind of want to be pegged, you would sort of say, you might say no, but you might say it in a different way, which means that I can bring it up at a later stage and we can talk about this again.
Let's get in. How about we give our listeners a taste of this game?
Okay. Am I saying yes or no? Am I just saying no?
Let's go no only. Okay, I will ask you 10 questions and then you can turn it around on me and you can ask me 10 questions. How's that?
Yeah, I'm excited. So, let's go. Okay, go.
Let's go. Miss Kitten, would you like some chocolate?
Thank you, but no thank you.
Miss Kitten, would you like a cup of coffee?
Thank you, but no thank you. That's frustrating. Now I want coffee.
Miss Kitten, can I pet your Frenchie?
Thank you, but no thank you.
Miss Kitten, would you like to come stay a week by me and I will rub your pretty bum for you every day and I will do all the best needle sessions with you every day?
Thank you, but no thank you.
Miss Kitten, would you like me to come stay by you for a week and I will cook you delicious and healthy meals?
Thank you, but no thank you. That was hard. That one was definitely a yes. So I think what the listeners are starting to understand is you're also able to, look, a no is always a no, but you're also able to hear how the no is said. And it's, correct, you know, playing with a no, and if we were, if Damfe and I were sitting facing each other, there would be body language in this as well. Like I would have huge open arms trying to smother her into me if she was offering to come live with me for a week. I'd be jumping off the balcony in excitement. I would be so happy. You know, that there would be other signs going along with this, not just the verbal responses. And I think understanding that and seeing your partner's body language open up to you, seeing, you know, that's all important. And I think having that as a grounding, and it's really a great way to break the ice. It's really a great way to test the waters, because, you know, when a dumb face says to me, you know, can she peg me, and I get this huge grin on my face, but I say no, she knows that that might be a possibility. Mm-hmm. I had it happen in a class where the wife asked her husband if he would wear her high heels. And he kind of blushed and grinned and giggled and said, no, thank you, but no, thank you. And he has turned into the most beautiful sissy boy on the planet. He is so fucking drop dead gorgeous in those heels. But it gave them the opportunity to broach a subject that was a little bit taboo for them and something that they didn't quite know how to bring to the table. And it had really, like, really great consequences. Like, you know, they both tried something new. She got to verbalize her fantasy and the whole thing, and he got time to think about it. You know, and so by the time they went home that night, they had another little chat about it, and a week later they had another little chat about it, and eventually they decided on some testing the waters together and bought a pair of heels. And now he has nicer shoes than I do, which is quite frustrating. But and his legs look divine in them. But yeah, so it can open the doors for you as well. And that no is a beauty. You know, that no is a beautiful thing, because not only does the game open doors, but the no also closes doors. So if I know that it's absolutely, I'm never going to peg Dom Faye, I'll stop asking.
Correct.
And I can start thinking about other things.
Take the discomfort out of the equation. 100%. Because now you understand, okay, I had this thought in my mind. She's not wanting this. So, okay, this is a no-go zone. It's a boundary. It's a limit. I'm not going to cross it again.
100%. So you can then, so we've played the no game. Let's do the yes, no game. And if there's something that you would like to try, but it's not a total yes and it's not a total no, and you want to give me a maybe, we'll put it on the back burner to be discussed at a later point, so we can just keep the game moving.
Correct.
Okay. So yeah. Correct. So let me do that with you, and you can do the yes, okay. No, maybe. Okay. Domino Faye, would you like to come to Cape Town for Rain of Blood and spend the weekend with me and binge watch needle sessions and have needles?
Oh, fuck yes.
Would you like to go for a walk on the beach while you're down here?
Absolutely, yes.
Would you like to do my grocery shopping while you're down here?
No. I hate grocery shopping.
Would you like to share the household chores?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm looking completely closed on to that.
Would you like to go out for a night on the town while you're here? And maybe we can visit a play party.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. So already you're seeing, and you can hear, I can hear in your voice, like stuff that made you super excited. Like your answers were quick. They came almost automatically. You were excited about them. There were some answers that didn't come fast. It took a while. And you even battled to put a maybe on it. I think you actually just wanted to say flat out no. But you felt it would be a bit rude if you came here for a weekend and you didn't help me at all.
Let me tell you something about housework. So I have a love-hate relationship with housework. However, when I'm working through something for myself, and I have to process something, sweeping or mopping the house is the best therapy for me. And I still hate it. but it actually gives me, it's a methodical process. And doing that physical methodical process actually give my mind just that time to actually go into a very deep thought process and just think about all the aspects around whatever I'm processing. So yes, I'm not very fond of housework, but I actually don't mind it altogether.
So when you come visit me, could you please bring a lot to process? Please bring a lot to process. It's important. I'll tell you my stance on housework. Like, I really, like, I would rather stick pins in my own eyes, and that sounds very sexy compared to housework. And for those of you who don't know me, I might one day stick pins in my own eyes. I've made sure that it's an athletic activity, so I can tick the box that it's like, instead of going to gym today, I have done housework. And then yes, I've turned it into some work. Kind of achievement. Okay. Yeah. So what happens? Yeah. Hmm. What happens what happens when we've negotiated, and you and I have played together, so let's say something goes wrong in the session. It's not what we negotiated. I end up feeling like I was violated, or there was an incident with consent in the session, or you feel like there was an incident and consent in the session. How do we handle that? How do we bring that to the table? Because a FetLife post or a Facebook post about that bitch did X, it doesn't really solve the situation. And we're just creating more trauma response, and we're just hammering it until we get to a point of no return. So what does accountability look like in your world? And how would you like me to approach that? Seeing as you're going to live with me permanently and do my housework, I need to know these things.
Don't forget, cook for you too.
So, oh yes, I'm looking for that.
Okay, so for me, whether it was something I did by mistake, which it does happen, it's something that you don't strive to do, but sometimes these things do happen in the heat of the moment. You can make a mistake on something that maybe wasn't even discussed. Or they maybe do something that you didn't discuss with them, and there was no agreement reached on something that's being done. So we both kind of feel violated in a sense that there was a boundary that was crossed and we didn't really consent to this. So from both sides, there's a trauma response. So for me personally, I feel having that clear and open communication is absolute key. I want the person I'm playing with to understand that they can actually come back to me, knowing that when they tell me that when ABC happened, this is how I felt, and I am actually okay to understand that I made a mistake and that I am actually going to own up to that mistake by saying that.
You mentioned, before you carry on, you mentioned something there that I think is hugely important. I think language matters in the whole thing. So I think approaching you and saying to you, hey, bitch, you violated me, doesn't help the situation.
No.
What does help the situation is saying, when you did X, I felt Y. Can we discuss that? That is correct. Really helpful. That really doesn't put me into trauma response. That makes me open to understanding that you were feeling something. I caused that feeling. And I can at least, even if I don't agree or disagree at the moment, I can at least own immediately that I have caused you to feel like that. And I can tell you 100% that's never my intention. Unless it's negotiated. I don't want you to feel like shit. Sometimes it's negotiated. It's super important in how the approach happens. So I think also formulating that approach before you go into the play is quite important. So let's say this happens between us and I do something that you feel was not a great move. I would just like you to tell me that when I did X, you felt why, and that you'd like that not to happen again. How can we mitigate it so it doesn't? And then also,
if it created such a emotional and big response to you that you cannot really formulate it in words right now, that's okay too. You can actually say, I would like to discuss what happened in this moment, but I cannot discuss it right now. And you can take a day or two to actually think it through and process it and really formulate into what exactly from what happened triggered you, because that's ultimately what happened. Something that wasn't negotiated happened, or it could even be something that was consented to triggered you in that moment and you didn't like it. So it doesn't mean it can only be something that you didn't consent to, but you need to understand that it is okay to say that this was not okay for me. I can either discuss it with you now, or I please give me a day or two to actually think this through before we discuss it.
100%. I like that. And, you know, just saying like, I don't have capacity to formulate this right now, but this needs to be dealt with. Yeah, it puts it on the table and it just gives everybody a clear understanding of the situation to start with. I think that's really great. I think that also taking time for yourself, making sure if you're in a good place, if the incident is so damaging that you really can't talk to me directly about it, I always have an accountability team or a second for my big plays. I don't do them on my own. Just hold on. I have a dog who's half sleeping, half barking at the door. Tessa, it's not. I have an accountability human who helps me at events or helps me with big plays, and you can reach out to them. And they're generally a person who knows how to talk to me, who I value and respect. And they're able to often bring that to me and say to me, this person says this and this happened, you made them feel X, Y, and Z, and I can look at it and go, shit, I didn't mean to do that. How do we mitigate this, and how do we make that person feel more comfortable, and how do we begin to repair the harm that's been done, instead of going into a trauma response and them being in a trauma response? It allows them to have an opportunity to voice their opinion. And I think the important thing to understand in kink is, no matter how much consent you have, no matter how much negotiation you put on the table, you're going to fuck up. And things are going to happen. And even just, you know, until you played with somebody for a really long time, simple words can be misunderstood. Like the idea of like, I want a pig, Domina Faye, could mean one thing to Domina Faye and one thing to me. It could mean that I'm going to get out 500 washing pigs out of the basket and I'm going to zipline her boobs. For her, it means, you know, that I'm going to put a strap on and torment her ass. And you know,
exactly.
So it could mean two totally different things. So just in the beginning, just expecting that there are going to be moments where you don't align and that you need to realign, I think is super important. But having a platform to do that on, or a process that's formulated before you get too far into it, is a really good idea. Yeah, so the one thing that comes to mind here, and I have no idea why, but the one thing I did learn when I started all this consent work and I started delving into the world of consent instead of coercion, the educator that was talking to the class was talking to us about an exit strategy. And I think that's so important. And she was saying, like, this exit strategy applies to everything. It applies to your clients. It applies to your work situation, it applies to your home situation, it applies to all your relationships. And damn, if I had an exit strategy with my ex-husband, that would have frigging made life so much easier. You know, like, and just saying in the beginning of the relationship, when things go south, what do we do? What is the exit strategy? Who gets what? How do we divide this? Who's responsible for what? Emotion completely aside, what are the realistic adult responsibilities that we've accumulated, and how do we negotiate those, is hugely important. So I think any exit strategy is valuable. Sorry.
I think when it comes to kink, your exit strategy really also ties into your risk budget.
Yeah.
So what is the risk that we're taking on here? Are we happy with the risk? Do we actually have a budget for this? Can we mitigate any plan? Can we formulate any plan that we can see happening should something go south?
100%.
So it's very important to understand these things. And I know, you know, like how you say new relationship energy, you always think, oh no, things are awesome. Nothing will ever go wrong. And this is so amazing. And we're all on a high. And it's just amazing, 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 until it's not. And then what do you do? So when it's not, you go into this trauma response. And like how you said, when you don't have capacity to deal with things, you need an easy way out. So then that is the time that you look at that pie on your fridge and you say, okay, this is what I need.
100%. 100% always need cake, though. That's always my first go-to. I've had to take cake off the pie because I'm like, you can't just eat cake. Because I got to the fact that I was like, I wake up every day and I was like, I need self-care. No, you don't. You just want cake. So I actually have to take cake off the list. Felt like I was abusing the self-care pie wheel. And it was literally becoming a pie wheel. So I had to take cake off the list. I think that's a huge amount of stuff that we've spoken about. I think we're going to come back and chat to our listeners a bit about negotiation and some other sort of key stuff that falls into this. Both Don Fay and I are available on Instagram. Send us a message. We're happy to answer you. Again, the more autonomy you have in the situation, the better. Having information is super important. Consent Academy, I can't promote them enough. Have some amazing classes. Their accountability class and accountability and leadership is just phenomenal. I really found that beneficial. There's some really good accountability podcasts. There's something called Fucking Cancelled on Spotify. They are excellent as well, talking about cancel culture and accountability and what accountability looks like. But I think it's something that starts with self. You've really just got to own your own responsibilities going into it. And I think that there is something about taking time and establishing communication and establishing good negotiations and consent with yourself to begin with, which really helps you mitigate a lot of these situations.
100%. I can't agree with you more, Miss Kitten.
Yeah. But I love you, gorgeous girl, and I can't wait to see you soon and have you clean my house. That's my new fantasy. I even have an outfit that's non-latex picked off you in my head. I've been kind. I knew you would say no to the latex, so we found another option. So I just want to say thanks to these gorgeous listeners for their time today and for joining us in the dungeon. And lots of kitten kisses from me in Cape Town. And I'll chat soon.
Yes, thank you so much, Kingi Perverts, for following us and liking our podcast and waiting for the next one to fall, because ultimately, we just want you to take something from every podcast. It doesn't have to be everything. And we want you to come back for more. So from my side, have a good day now.
Bye.